And we're paraphrasing it with Mama Always Says. And I don't know if you always had a mama always just say that, but now as a kid and then now being a dad as a parent, and when your kids like get into it sometimes, or maybe your kids never did that, but our kids would get at each other and, well, he hit me and he called me this, and Jody bring them together. Now say you're sorry. And you know how the kids are, right? Sorry. And they don't mean it. They just like, let me go on and do my thing. And so today, that's kind of what we're going to talk about as we look into the scriptures. Mama always said, now say you're sorry. Have you ever been in a situation where a relationship went south, got sour, and it was your fault? I mean, if you really look back, the majority of it was because of something you did, something you said, or when you wronged another person, or perhaps it's even the fact that you blew up and you lost it all on that person. Why is it so hard for us then to go back to that person and say, you know, I'm sorry? Why is it so difficult to say to them, would you please forgive me? And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, right? It could be pride, it could be stubbornness. Admitting that I was wrong, that's hard for some of us, just to admit that we were wrong or we are at fault. Some of us, it's the fear of rejection. And for others, it's the fear of, man, if I say something, it's just gonna continue the fighting, it's just gonna continue, and it's bad enough the way it is. But what I've found is there's always one or two ways in which people often respond when relationships are not good and maybe both parties are at fault, or at least maybe one a little heavier than the other. And one is that a person will go and seek forgiveness to say, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? What I did was out of character, it was wrong. And if that's not the way that somebody leans, then the other leaning is we seek forgetfulness, right? There are some of us in the room today or listening online, you may think that, well, I'll just push that aside for now and act as if it never happened. Let's just pretend that was never said, and yet it was. And so we hope that time will heal all things, and if you've lived long enough, you learn that time does not always heal all things. It reminds me, when you're talking about forgiveness, an exasperated salesman one day pulled his car into a no parking spot. He wrote a note on this piece of paper and put it on the wiper of his windshield, and it said, I have circled this block 20 times looking for a parking spot and could not find one. If I don't get to this meeting, I'm gonna lose my job. And then underneath it, he quoted scripture, forgive your debts as you forgive others their debts as they forgive you, right? He went into the meeting, got there, kept his job, was able to keep his job, coming hour later, and he noticed his piece of paper was gone, but there was another colored piece of paper in place of it. And he grabbed it and he looked, and it says, I'm an officer of the law and I've been patrolling this block for the last 20 years. And if I don't give you a ticket, I'm gonna lose my job. He scratched out what the guy had wrote, and he put his piece of scripture. It says, lead us not into temptation. And I'm like, yeah, that kind of fits, right? Or maybe you've been into a convenience store, and if you notice as you're checking out, some people will have posted there a check cashing policy. In other words, if your check bounces, it's gonna cost you $20 on your end. I like how this one cash register had this. It said, a sign in a convenience store by the cash register said, check cashing policy. To err is human, to forgive is $20. I mean, that this makes sense, right? But here's what we know if we're really honest with each other this morning. The truth is that forgiveness and unforgiveness, it costs. It requires sacrifice. And usually, it costs more than just $20. If you have your Bible, join me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, as we continue Jesus' teaching. If you'll remember last week, we talked about anger. We talked about that if you're angry at somebody and you call them a fool, or you call somebody else an idiot, raka, you're in danger of the fires of hell. And I can't tell you how many people this week have told me, you know, well, they had to make a lot of changes because that idiot that's driving, you know, everybody else drives terrible. You're the only one that drives well on the road, right? That's always that idiot. And how many times we say words that we probably shouldn't say? Well, it's out of that context that as we look at today, Jesus continues this thought pattern, right? So he's talking about if you have anger towards somebody, he was talking about that last week. Now watch where he goes with it this week in this sermon. He says, so if you're standing before the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar and go and apologize and be reconciled to him, and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Come to terms quickly with your enemy before it's too late, and he drags you into court and you're thrown into a debtor's cell, for you will stay there until you have paid the very last penny. I want you to notice something. It's interesting, if we separate these two paragraphs, in this paragraph, Jesus said, listen, if you remember that a friend, who's your friend? Who are some of your friends? Brother and sister in Christ, perhaps? They have something against you, you need to make it right with them. In the next paragraph, it could be a friend, but it doesn't necessarily say, he uses the word enemy. It may be somebody who you don't even like, you don't have anything, but if there's something going on, you need to make it right, you still need to make it right before you get hauled off the court, before this gets worse. What I think is interesting, there's three things that I notice that jump out to me when I read this text right here this morning that Jesus speaks to you and I about. If we are to be followers of Jesus, Jesus is speaking to you then, if you're a follower of Jesus today. And what he speaks about to us, one is proactivity. You need to be proactive. Well, what do we need to be proactive about? Notice what he says. If you're offering your gift, if you've come to the temple to offer your sacrifice, your worship to God, understand when in Jesus' day, the Jewish people would come to the temple and they would offer sacrifices of animals, the blood of an animal. We don't do that any longer today. Why? Because one blood was already shed for us on the cross by Jesus. So we now seek forgiveness. We don't do it by animal sacrifice. We do it through the blood of Jesus. But we also do still bring a sacrifice. Do you know what that is? The sacrifice is you. Romans says that, right? We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not about animals anymore. It's about our hearts that we sacrifice before the Lord. And he says, if you're there and you're offering your sacrifice, if you've come into this building today to worship God and to offer him a sacrifice of praise, and then while you're doing that, you remember that a friend has something against you. If it pops into your head, if it jogs in your memory that this brother or this sister over here has something against me, here's what Jesus says, leave. Leave your gift there. Leave your worship. Stop it and go. Depart from one thing and go to another. Go to the person who you know has something against you. Then come back and offer your worship and praise to God. What I think is interesting is this. Last week, Jesus was talking about when you become angry and you call somebody else a fool. Today, as we go on in the text, he's not talking about the anger of the worshiper, the one who's come to worship. He's not talking about your anger at somebody else. He's saying, but if you know somebody else who has something against you, maybe they're angry at you. That's what he's talking about. He says, leave and go if your brother has something against you. You say, but I don't have anything against them. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about what you got right now. But he's saying, what you've come to offer, stop that for now. And if she has or he has something against you and you know it, if you remember it, you need to leave your gift at the altar and go to your brother to be reconciled. Go. Postpone your offering to God. Leave this worship service. Be reconciled with your brother and sister. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. I'm just going to go right at it. And if you're listening online, this may be the end of the message for you right here, just so you know. If even now, while I've been preaching just this little part of the message, or when you came in here as you were worshiping, and if God brought to your mind someone who has something against you, can I just tell you, leave, go? just go ahead and leave now and go to them and make it right. Like, well, I'm not going to get up. No, seriously, I will think more of you. I would almost applaud you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd applaud you if you just got up and left here this morning because you know that somebody's got something against you and you know, I got to go make that right now. I don't have time to listen to the rest of this message. I would applaud you for that. Because why? Because you're being obedient to Jesus. You're being more spiritual than if you just sit in here and you know something's not right, but I'm not going to deal with that right now. I'm just going to wait till the service is over. Just go now. It's okay. See, I think what Jesus is saying, if you're impassioned enough to bring your gift, your worship before me, I need you also to be brave enough to go to your brother or sister and gift him or her your apology, to offer your forgiveness and then to be forgiven. You say, but Pastor Jeff, what if they don't receive it? What if they don't accept my apology? Well, Jesus doesn't say anything about that. He just says, if you remember somebody's got something against you, leave and go to them and make it right. He doesn't say only do it if you think they'll receive it. If you think they'll accept it, he just tells you to go. In other words, be proactive. Take the initiative to reconcile. Apologize for the grievance you called. Pay for the debt. Don't be reactive, in other words. Don't wait for that person to have to come to you and tell you they got something against you and you already knew it. Take the step of obedience. So Jesus speaks to proactivity. Jesus also speaks to priority in this text. Again, follow the pattern. If while you're worshiping, you remember somebody has something against you, a friend, leave. Leave your sacrifice. Then what? Then go. Go to them. Offer an apology. Be reconciled to them. And then the last part of the chronology is then come back and offer your worship. Don't get this out of line. First, you leave and you go to your brother or to your sister. Did you hear that? Go to them. Do not write a letter. Do not just shoot them a text. Don't just make a phone call and then leave them a voice message if they don't answer. Don't message them on Facebook. By the way, talking to Facebook, how many of you have Facebook accounts? It's a network to connect people, right? It's a social network in which people can connect. But too many times I see so many people, especially church people, even these church people at Northwest Church of God, sometimes I've seen it, where many of us use as a grapevine to gossip or gripe about another human being that was created in the very image of God. Worse yet, many of us will use Facebook to air our displeasure, our disdain, or anger for some other person, an organization, or perhaps even our own government. We discuss our anger. We discuss our issues with other people on the Facebook frontier instead of going to the person, having a discussion with the actual person or the actual organization or representative thereof. Now, understand, I know that there are times that you need to seek counsel on the best way to approach somebody. Maybe you want to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Hey, am I thinking this right? No, you need to rethink how you're going about this. I get that, but do that while you're going. Don't use as an opportunity not to go. See, some people, I don't know if you're familiar with Facebook, right? Some people write on other people's what they call their wall or their story, right? Or they write on somebody else's wall things that they should never have said. From profanity to ambiguous code words. Everybody, when raising, they're trying to say something there, I can tell that much, instead of going to the brother or the sister. Again, notice what Jesus says, leave your offering. Remember what he said about the Pharisees who act righteous? They clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is dirty. You worried about the appearance of everything, but you're not checking this, your heart. Don't be like the Pharisees. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks in this room right now. If you had to get up and go to make something right with somebody, make sure this is right before this is right. And go, it speaks of first priority. Be reconciled to your brother. Did you catch it? First go, then come worship. First and then. There's a chronology there. And that word reconciled means to exchange one thing for another. It may mean that where you say, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? I would like to try to make this right between us. In the Latin, it means this. The word reconciled in the Latin means to make things good again. It means to repair. So notice already, in the short time we've been together, Jesus speaks to proactivity. Don't wait for somebody else to come to you. You need to go to them if you know they have something against you. Do it, make it a priority in your life, right? He gives us a step, leave, go, and then come back and worship. And then he also speaks to promptness. Look at verse 25. He says, come to terms quickly with your enemy. Or he says in another translation, settle matters quickly. The Amplified version says this, at your earliest opportunity. Did you catch that? Listen to me, there's a difference between earliest convenience and earliest opportunity. Sometimes it'll never be convenient, but you may be presented with the opportunity. Matter of fact, some of you right now, by me preaching and speaking the word, the Holy Spirit's already presenting in your mind an opportunity because he's brought to your memory somebody who you're not right with. You have now just been presented with the opportunity. It may not be convenient. It may mean you have to get up out of here a while. It may mean you have to postpone your lunch plans because you need to go to them and make it right today because of the first priority thing. But here's what Jesus said. There are times where you have to just take action, not delay in making relationships right. Now, in saying that, understand, you cannot force reconciliation to take place. But you don't delay when you know there's a necessary confrontation that needs to happen. Now, yes, there are times we need to slow down. There are times where we need to calm down. Time to collect our thoughts and to gather our words so that we can think clearly in order that we might speak clearly. But after you've done that, go. And do what you can do as soon as possible. Settle matters quickly are the words of Jesus. Why is this so important? Because forgiveness is important and it costs. And it costs more than $20. And the reason it ought to be important to us is if we're following Jesus, because it was important to Jesus. See, you and I, we need to forgive others because first, Jesus instructs us to do so. Jesus taught us to forgive, and he also taught us how to forgive in the same time when he taught us how to pray. If you remember Matthew chapter 6, what is often called the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will. You know that prayer? If you keep on going through the prayer, what does it say? It says what that salesman tried to put on his windshield, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in Jesus' prayer, there's a two-letter word that is just huge. Did you catch it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me ask it a different way. How risky would it be for you today to ask God to forgive you of your debts as or in the same way that you are forgiving those who owe you a debt of apology? You know, I think in order to make sure we caught this particular part of the prayer, Jesus reiterates its importance in Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. Notice what it says, for if, when you see the word if, it's kind of like a conditional thing coming here, right? For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But notice what happens if you don't go forward with the if. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Some of the best lessons that Jesus gives to us are not just what he taught us, but it's also what we caught. The best lessons in life are not always taught, they're caught. And Jesus knew this. So it wasn't just about instructing us. It wasn't just about teaching us that we ought to forgive. But it was also that we might catch it for ourselves. In other words, Jesus not only instructed us to forgive, but he modeled forgiveness before us. When he was nailed, impaled upon a wooden cross, he modeled before you and I the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of all humanity. And with his last breaths that he took, while on that cross, he spoke words of forgiveness. He said, "Father, forgive them." He not only modeled it, but he set the standard for forgiveness. It cost Jesus everything. And I know some of you are sitting here, but Jeff, I can't, there's no way I can wholly, completely forgive somebody else. And I want to say, yeah, you can. If you're following after Jesus, you can. You and I can forgive because God, who has been the most offended by sin, has forgiven us. All of my sin, all of your sin, all of humanity's sin. Notice this. First and foremost, it is an offense to God. And so whoever has offended or sinned against you has first offended and sinned against God. And if the most holy God of the universe can forgive, then how can you and I not? Matter of fact, we're never more like Jesus than when you and I forgive another person. Jesus goes on, he talks to us about why we need to forgive. Not only does he instruct it, not only does he model it for us, but he goes on and kind of tells us through the sermon, listen, your worship is worthless if you're not willing to forgive another person. It's worthless. So let's stop for a second. Did you even take time this morning before you came to this building, before you walked in? Did you already have in your mind what you were going to do to participate? Did you just come in to watch? Did you just come in to put your hour in? Or did you come in here to offer something, to offer a sacrifice? In the midst of that sacrifice, was there something going on in your head and your heart that was maybe even distracting you from your worship, like you remembered this relationship over here is not right? God is telling you all that worship you did earlier, now that you know, it's worthless until you make this right. Don't bother coming in and worshiping me if this isn't right with another person. If you don't believe it, Scripture teaches it. Watch this. 1 Samuel. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It's a question. What is your answer? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. To Jesus, people in those days, I don't care how much blood of an animal you shed on the altar, but if you're not going to obey me and leave it and go make it right with your brother, that means nothing to me. You might as well just stay home, is what he would almost say. But if you'll leave your worship and go to that brother and do your part to make it right, then come back, and God will gladly receive your worship in that moment. That's why Paul said it like this. Again, we talked about this earlier. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Did you know, I always think about, what does worship look like? Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to do a series on that one of these days, because it's more than just coming in and singing songs while a band plays. You know that, right? Did you ever think about part of your spiritual act of worship is when you go and you make things right with another person? That's part of your worship. Because now it's holy and it's pleasing to God. But if you just stand here and you know it and you don't do anything about it, your worship's not holy, it's not pleasing, and God doesn't accept your sacrifice. This is not an easy message, is it? I mean, it's tough. I've been there too. I'm with you. I mean, how can our sacrifice be holy and pleasing to God when your anger and your angst or your attitude against your brother or sister is not right? You shouldn't expect to draw near to God with the intention to worship him if you have an unsettled bitterness or anger with somebody else in your life. God says your worship is worthless, and I'm not impressed. If you stay at an altar when you should get up and go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. And I know some of you are saying, but man, Jeff, that's so hard. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not. You're right. Leaving and going to another and to offer an apology to say that I'm wrong, I was sorry, is not easy. Nor is sometimes receiving for somebody to tell you that they were wrong. But here's what we do know from the Bible. When we forgive others, we look a lot like Jesus. So let me flip the script just a moment. And let me ask you this. Maybe you're struggling with this because you know somebody's got something against you. You remember that. But inside you're like, well, but I got something against them too. Can I talk to you for a moment? What if you were to embrace the offenses of other people? Like, why would I want to do that? Well, hear me out for a second. What if instead of burling up and becoming bitter, what if as somebody has offended you, you embraced it? I'm not talking about being physically abused. I'm not talking about somebody sitting there and letting them emotionally abuse you. But I'm talking about when somebody just gives you a little criticism or a critique. When somebody does an injustice to you. When somebody misunderstands you or maybe misrepresents you or, yes, even somewhat mistreats you. Because everything that attempts to attack us and tries to take us down are, in fact, if you're in Jesus, making us stronger on the inside, that by these trials, we are being perfected in Jesus. And when you and I are obedient, when you and I are proactive, and you initiate the healing process by forgiveness, God will continue to produce in you this personal holiness. See, God desires for you and I to be more concerned about his work of holiness in our lives than he does about the offenses of somebody else that has wronged us. And yes, it hurts to sacrifice. We've already kind of said that. It hurts to sacrifice ourselves. It hurts to have to lay down our pride. It hurts to set aside our indignation and anger, our spirit of revenge. I just want to get them back for what they did to me. Our own self-righteousness that I'm better than all these other people. It takes sacrifice to lay those things all down. But that's what we're called to do as the kingdom people of Jesus. And so as we wrap this up today, if you're listening online or if you're in the room here this morning, there are two kinds of people that probably need forgiveness today. Those who feel the burden of anger because someone offended you, mistreated you, misrepresented you, criticized you, critiqued you. And then there's the person who feels the burden of guilt because they offended somebody else. I can't believe I did that. And maybe that's some of the struggle for some of you even today. You're like, listen, Pastor Jeff, it's not like just a one-way thing here. I did some things. I said some things to them I should not have said, but you don't know what they did to me. I get that. I don't probably. But here's what I do know. I don't even care if 90% of what went wrong in the relationship was their fault and what they did, and you only have 10%. Here's what Jesus is saying. Deal with your 10%. Be proactive on the 10% that you know is wrong. You can't make them own their 90. You can try, but usually that doesn't work out so well. So just deal with your 10%. You may be in a situation this morning where your feelings have been hurt and the walls are high in the relationship. And you've really wounded them and maybe they really wounded you. But none of that changes your responsibility as a Jesus follower to leave and to go to them. And whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever percent, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you forgive me when I said this? Will you forgive me for the anger I've held against you? Would you please forgive me for what I did? it's still your responsibility to go and say, I'm sorry. And so, leave, go now, and say, I'm sorry, as if it depended on you. Then, come back to God and offer him your worship untainted. Because not only are you right here, you'll be right here. Isn't it interesting? Jesus died on a cross to make things right this way, but also things this way. It's as if with his outstended arms and his blood shed, he was trying to grab everybody and reconcile us to relationship with him. To make that which is wrong or bad good again. That is what I'm asking of you from the scriptures today. If there's something that's bad, go make it good again at the best of your ability to do so. And you're like, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you either. And you may not know what to say until the moment, but just right now, be obedient. And I believe if your heart is right, whether they receive it, whether they accept it, whether they tell you to go jump off a pier and go to somewhere else where it's really hot, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm gonna be obedient, and as I'm obedient, give me the words that I need to say it clearly and loving and correctly as it depends on me. God, help me in this. I promise you, he will. This, will you trust him as you're obedient? Let's pray together. God, as we go from this place, message is pretty short and tight this morning, but Lord, there's a lot to unpack in our heads and our hearts. If we just take these few verses that we read this morning and say, now how am I acting upon those? Holy Spirit, I pray you bring conviction to some hearts and heads this morning. There are some relationships that aren't right now. And some people now have at the forefront of their mind. I ask that, Holy Spirit, you would remind them that it's not about their earliest convenience. Sometimes we make our opportunities, Lord, and sometimes it means we just get up, leave, and go. And I pray that as my brother and my sister goes to whoever it is that holds something against them, that you'd give them the words, that you would help them to have the sacrifice to lay aside their pride, and as long as it depends on them, to make things right with the other person. Then, Lord, as they come back to worship you, their heart will not be heavy, that the guilt will be relieved, that they know that they worship you because they've done everything in their power to make it right with their brother or their sister. Give them what they need now, God, as they go. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And God's church said, amen, amen. So be it. Glad you were here today. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Go with God and he'll go with you. Good afternoon. I guess I